Welcome to Chundersmith. I'm Brian.
Bobby! Woo!
Alright, so we're talking about Blank Slate. Symbol types. Okay, yes. So symbol types. So there's phenotypes and there's genotypes. And those are scientific concepts. Well, this is an idea that was introduced to me, at least, by David Sloan Wilson, Dr. David Sloan Wilson, who is a fantastic thinker and researcher who has some experience and knowledge in the way of social behavior and evolutionary psychology. So, we're talking about this concept of blank slate, which is a foundational concept of, amongst other things, communism. This idea that people are born blank and that you just need to program into them the things that they need to do, and so therefore people will slot into different positions and nobody is unique, everybody is replaceable, blah, blah, blah. Does that sound about right, Bobo? So the discussion that led to this particular episode was me saying that the blank slate idea is almost, like, slightly right, but not really. Almost, but not really, and the reason why is because we have those reflexive behaviors, those kind of, I guess you could say, instinct behaviors that occur. Like, we're talking about reflexive things like the grasping motion of a human baby's hand, or if the sucking that a baby does typically when something is placed near its mouth, like the reflex of the blinking or the iris expanding and contracting based off of the availability of light, that sort of stuff. That's all reflexive. And then where so, voluntary behavior, which this is kind of covered in the last episode, isn't really voluntary. Like, it can be, but it isn't. Because everything falls underneath operations. There's stimulus, response, stimulus, that sort of thing that's going on there. Well, the idea behind Blank Slate is saying, well, these operations are in play, and so therefore we can manipulate the environment to program people to fill different roles or to be, you know, to be all that they can be, blah, blah, blah. And so where Blank Slate is right is that, yes, there are operations that we can create. We can create, manipulate contingencies, to make it more or less likely for a behavior to happen. More specifically, we can manipulate the environment to increase or decrease the probability of a behavior occurring. Where Blank Slate is wrong is in this kind of assumption that everybody's going to respond the same. So this is... There's some theory and some research that's going on with this, but it appears that neurotypes are a thing, and it appears that neurotype being a neurological structure that results in a capacity to do certain things in a certain way differently than what another or different neurotype would be able to do. So we suspect that maybe introversion versus extroversion might have to do something with neurotypes. We suspect that autism versus attention deficit disorder style processes might have to do something with neurotypes. There's a lot of suspicion, and research is still in process. So, I am just wondering what this fella is doing. Okay, he's going to go around in a circle. Okay, apologies, folks, I'm driving. So there's a lot of there's a lot of hypothesis and consideration, but one thing that we do know is that when it comes to the behavioral research that's been done in the past, is that people have different preferences. This seems like a kind of a no-duh. And I'm sorry if it seems like a no-duh, but I'm not sorry at the same time. Because we can have some assumptions about certain things. We can have assumptions about behaviors. But until we actually study it and actually look for patterns, those assumptions are nothing more than opinions. So, we're seeing that people have different preferences. What shapes those preferences? Well, the suspicion is that it's neurotypes. The suspicion is that it's something that has to do with the person's genetic or epigenetic structure, or maybe their neurological structure, something having to do with that. So where blank slate is wrong is this assumption that everybody is exactly the same. There's obviously differences. What makes it so that one dog will prefer jumping and playing in the water while the other doesn't? Well, we can hypothesize that it's that when one dog was introduced to water, it was introduced to it in such a way that it was highly reinforcing, while the other, when it was introduced, it was highly aversive. That's one hypothesis. Yes and no, because personalities can change. The question is how much of personality is shaped by stimulus response, stimulus contingencies, and how much of it is shaped by immutable things or semi-mutable things like genotype or epigenetic expression. Okay, and the answer to that is mostly yes, but also how the breed is treated can shape behavior. Because we have a lot of assumptions about how, for example, somebody with dementia or with Alzheimer's might behave. But there's behavior analytic research specifically done with people who are suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's, and contingencies put into play that actually alter the way that they behave by simply altering environment. And environment includes the way other people respond. So when I say environment, I'm also including saying that the way that the staff is trained to respond to certain behaviors, because environment includes the people. So, exactly. Like, I am a part of your environment. kind of assertion of reason being instinctual, and it being like, you know, this construct of the mind of these ideas. We think that the reason why humans behave the way we do and why we have this process that we call thinking is because we have verbal behavior. And this is kind of... and so it's this pretty cool thing, but at the same time, verbal behaviors are susceptible to operational conditions, like operants, the things that I've been talking about. And some people get upset. They get incredibly upset by this proposal that perhaps the things that we're trying to describe and that we're observing and that we're attributing to this internal homunculi, this person within a person that explains our behavior. Yes, exactly. That they get upset by this proposal that maybe instead of this homunculus inside, this ego, this id, these peculiar approaches that are being made to describe why people do what they do, they get upset because it's like, well, are you saying that we're responding to our environments? And how can you say that? That means that I'm not who I am. And I'm like, no, that means that you're more who you are. That means you truly are who you are. Because you're responding to your environment, there's cause and effect. The thing that makes you, the thing that is you, is your interaction with the environment, which means that you have even more control. Like, that's the thing. A lot of times people are like, well, what about free will? That means I don't have free will. And I'm like, yes, but no. How do we define free will? How do we define free will? That's a big question. Free will, what is the definition? Well, if it's the ability to just make a decision and do what you want, and that's it, well, guess what? You can do that anytime. That's. But if it's accepting that maybe there's operations that occur, there's the environment affects you, and that you can become more aware of your environment, and then you can make better informed decisions, and that you can alter the environment so that you have a higher probability of doing the thing that you want to do, I'd argue that's even more free will than the argument that, you know, you can just do whatever. I think that creates a significant amount of hope. Because it's like, oh, wait, I can do things. I can change my environment in such a way that I can do different things. Oh, wow. Wait, so I can change my environment to be a better learner? Yeah, well, you get environmental mismatch. Like, you know, if you take a cat out of its natural environment and you keep it inside a house all the time and you never let it go outside and be a cat, and you're expecting the cat to never do anything other than behave in a very specific, limited set way, you're going to start getting a crazy cat. The cat's going to get depressed. It's going to start acting weird. It's going to start pushing things off of countertops and stuff like that. Oh, wait, they do that anyways. Never mind. Which is... It is possible for the exact one spider we've discovered that actually is evolved to eat plants. Okay. There might be others, but we have yet to encounter them if they are. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Our capacity to process alcohol, you mean? I would not argue that alcoholism is an advantage, my friend, but you know. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, why do you think ants are so prevalent? Yeah, they don't tool use the same way we do, but they do. Ants have been observed to herd. Ants have been observed to garden, and one would argue that in some ways they do kind of build their own tools because. Each ant is an individual organism that operates as a part of a super organism, and therefore each ant is a tool within the environment. Similarly, termites. Yeah, and termites do kind of similar. Like, there's the termites that have like the one termite that will plug up the entrance of the burrow and basically be like the shield for the burrow. Do you know about that one? That's super crazy. Yeah, exactly. And so, like, I don't. Yeah, the capacity to alter the environment, the capacity to engage, and there's different types of intelligence. Like, animal intelligence, like, humans aren't. We're not unique. We really aren't. Like, we are, but we aren't. Because there are other. Yeah, well, they can understand our language, but we can't understand theirs. So who's laughing now? Ha Yeah, exactly. But you know, there's all sorts of different approaches to intelligence, like cephalopods, octopi. Oh wow, those things are fascinating. Like, I kind of want to have an octopus buddy and just like hang out with them, 'cause like they're simultaneously like genetic loners, but they also like interacting with us weird naked monkeys. I was watching this. I just. Yeah, like the octopus who was like trying to play tag with the human. Did you see that video that's been going around lately? Yeah, like I'm just like, dude, I want to hang out with you, buddy. You seem like a cool dude. Oh, I Well, and then also I've seen videos of people playing with jumping spiders where they're kind of playing tag, where a finger will touch the jumping spider and then move away, and then the jumping spider will chase after and tag the finger and then run away. Like, and I actually, when I had my little rats, you never got a chance to meet them, but I had three little girl rats, named Gucci, Chanel, and Prada. Yeah, they were cute little things, and I would play tag with them. Like, I'd put my hand out there and kind of do it, and I'd tickle them, and they like lay on their backs and kind of do the little laugh thing, which it turns out is they literally are laughing. It's just so high pitched that we can't hear it. But yeah, and so I'd play with my little rats, and we'd play and socialize and that sort of thing. And they were very intelligent. They are. I hope they're still alive. I don't know. Maybe it's been too long. 10 years. Yeah, low probability of them still being alive. Yeah, they probably have children of their own. But at any rate, they're very intelligent little creatures. Intelligence being them responding to their environment and shaping the environment as best they could. And so, yeah, intelligence is a very fascinating thing. And this all comes back to this concept of blank slate. It's wrong, and yet it's kind of not. And the reason. That's not blank. Yeah, it's not truly blank slate. It's really just somebody's misunderstanding about how operant conditioning occurs, which is one of the reasons why I reject the concept of blank slate, but I accept some of the foundational principles of it. And that's not really true. It's not actually a foundational principle. It's that there's a principle that's an operation. And the people who came up with blank slate did not observe that. They just came up with their own explanation instead of realizing that, maybe there's something else going on here. Possibly. You saying games of rape is a little bit. You saying games of rape is engaging in some verbal behavior that is you're being very hilarious, Bob. Highly offensive. But dogs humping other dogs isn't exactly rape. It's them engaging in the behavior that dogs do. Yeah. Yeah. So, there's conditioning that's happening there, but that doesn't change the that doesn't mean that there's no trauma occurring. It just means that the trauma is occurring at a different in a different place, I guess you could say. And I am not an expert on this, but yeah, well, I recently saw a clip of a video where these Muslim men were answering questions, and one of the questions was, "Are women on YouTube, even if they're good Muslims, women who do videos on YouTube and they do everything they're supposed to, are they going to go to heaven?" And the answer that these three men gave was, "No, they're gonna go. They're not gonna go to heaven because a man somewhere might have masturbated to them." And it was particularly funny, the context of this particular clip, because somebody in the comments of the YouTube video said, "Well, fellas, I just winked off to you." So, well, and it seems like that there, just like with any culture, there's cultural evolution that's going on, because I also recently watched the most amazing video about this man who, in the last 20 years, has fostered over 50 children who had terminal diseases. And he, these children have been abandoned by their families because they're gonna die, so why bother? Because they're in a situation where economic hardship will create some callousness. And this man was in a position where he could just love them completely and wholeheartedly, and just seeing that compassion and love. And the interesting thing is that he quoted the Quran. He quoted some of the most beautiful parts of the Quran about compassion and love and doing for others and helping others who are in need. And so I see this happening culturally, like where, yes, we have some people who are going fundamentalist, who are interpreting things to the extreme. But then we see people going to the opposite extreme of compassion and kindness. And so one of my hopes is that, much like Christendom had to go through that evolution of rejecting that harshness, that hatefulness that tends to happen a lot when you have limited resources. People tend to be a little bit more callous when they don't have as much. Okay. I'm going to contest you there. No, Islam does not produce economic catastrophe. The way that it's currently being predominantly applied produces economic catastrophe. The United States' oldest ally, the very first, yes, Morocco, the very first nation to acknowledge the United States as a nation, even before France, because France was willing to help us, but they weren't really willing to acknowledge us for fear of getting into another war with the UK. Morocco is a Muslim nation, and we have been good friends for a very, very long time. And one of the oldest universities in the world exists in Morocco. So I would argue. I would argue. I would argue that antisocial behavior is antisocial behavior, regardless of how. Regardless of the how you skin it. Here we go. Let's use gamer terminology. No, I. I'm not arguing that that's not the case. What I'm saying is that if you have antisocial behaviors, that having a symbol type that justifies it doesn't change the fact that it's an antisocial behavior. And as a result of an antisocial behavior being an antisocial behavior, regardless of symbol type, there's consequences that fairly consistently occur. Consequences like poverty, like normalization of rape, like normalization of taking things from other people, normalization of inter-community conflicts, normalization of distrust, a lot of things that when you have an environment set up in such a way, those things aren't normal. Trauma is not normal. Trauma is in response to an environmental mismatch. feel like that's a topic for another episode, because I think we need to, what I need to do is I need to pull up. All right, fine. Bye.